Let's stand for the reading of the word. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You may be seated.
Will the Lord be with you?
And also with you.
So we are going to continue working through our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And if you remember, we just finished chapter 5 where we've been working through. And we saw how Jesus started to introduce what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And how he discusses and contrasts himself from the religious leaders of the day, where he explains, this is what you're hearing the scribes and the Pharisees. This is what they're teaching you, and they're trying to utilize the Old Testament to do so. But Jesus, he contrasts himself, and he says, this is actually what the word actually means. This is what it truly means to apply to your life. And he starts to explain how righteousness is found through a changed heart, in which we turn from our sins and we trust in Christ as the one who is our Savior. And so we saw then at the end of chapter 5 this discussion of him contrasting himself with the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, as we move then into chapter 6, and as we've been working through chapter 6, we now see that Jesus is contrasting himself with the actions of the religious leaders of the day. So we saw the teachings being contrasted, but now we're seeing the actual practice itself. What does it look like to be disciplined and to show what true worship looks like? And so what we saw then is Jesus introduced these kingdom disciplines from verses 1 to 18. And we see how he discusses the kingdom discipline of giving, right? Almsgiving, what it means to do a charitable deed. And he discusses how we are to have an audience of one, where when we do a charitable deed, when we give to the poor, when we give to our churches or to charities, we are to ensure that we are doing it for God's glory. We are to seek Him and not seek the praise of others. Then Jesus goes on and says, likewise, when it comes to our prayer life, when we pray to God, we are to ensure that it's not for attention. We are not to pray in public just so people say, oh, look how religious that person must be. Rather, we are to go to a secret place, right? It says, go to your room and shut the door. Go and find a private place, as we saw in the table talk this morning, discussing as we think about communion. We are to remember that we are to find solitude, find a place where we can meet and discuss and fellowship with God our Father. And so then he gives us this model prayer, and he gives us a, kind of like a template or a structure on how can we pray in the will of God. And now today we're going to see the third and final kingdom discipline that Jesus discusses. And that kingdom discipline, as you can see, is fasting. So we're going to talk a little bit about fasting today, and I just think it's a little bit funny that, you know, on Halloween, where there's going to be many people that are going to be potentially stuffing their faces with candy and delicious treats, is the day that we're going to say, hey, let's talk about some fasting today. And I know this isn't a fun topic for certain people, and you're like, you know, what's a topic that you're really excited about someone to preach about? Most of the congregation doesn't usually pick fasting. However, I think that fasting is a very important subject. I think it's an important discipline. And as we see Jesus here, out of all the things he could have discussed in his Sermon on the Mount, this is one of the three kingdom disciplines. One of the three things that he says, this is what it means to worship God. So if that's the case, I think it's pretty important. And so as we look then to fasting today, I think the first thing that we need to realize is God expects us to fast. God expects us to fast, right? That was the first point, if you noticed, for the last couple messages. God expects us to live righteously. God expects us to pray. Well, today, God expects us to fast. Now, think about your own spiritual life, your own relationship to God. Think about those three categories. How do you feel like you're doing in relationship to what Jesus is saying? Are you being someone who is a generous giver? Are you someone who is regularly praying without ceasing, in regular communication with God? And then finally today, are you someone who is committed to fasting? Now that doesn't mean that it has to be every day or every week, but are you someone that you would say that your spiritual life consists of someone who fasts? Because Jesus, in verses 16 and 17, he says what he's been saying in the past couple of messages. He says, when you fast, right? He says earlier, when you do a charitable deed, when you pray, when you fast. So he is implying an expectation here. He's saying, my disciples are going to do these things. And so I think if we want to be disciples, if we want to follow Christ, we need to say, well, Jesus, as our Lord, is expecting this, right? He says, when you fast. So we need to then think about this as a spiritual discipline that applies to the body of Christ. And I do think it's interesting, as we're discussing these kingdom disciplines, Jesus has kind of been utilizing these different disciplines, different aspects of worship, and they apply and relate to different relationships, if you notice. See, with giving, who does that relate to? That's me or you relating to others, right? Because to give, you must give to someone that's not yourself. So giving, it allows us to think about worship in relation to how do we treat one another. But then with prayer, prayer is our relationship with God. It's how do we relate, how do we speak to, how do we seek God? And now finally today, what fasting as a kingdom discipline, the reason I think Jesus wants us to fast is because what this does is it actually allows us to relate and think about ourselves. How do we treat and work within our own spiritual self? So we see giving relating to others, we see prayer relating to God, and we see fasting relating to self today. Because fasting, as many of you probably know, but for those who may not, what fasting is it's abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. So what you're doing is you're literally denying yourself a meal or multiple meals for the purpose of growing spiritually. Now, I do want to say something as we start to move into some, you know, details about fasting, is that there are other ways to fast. And, you know, a little bit more zealous, younger Zach, maybe, I would have been hard in saying, no, if you're a Christian, you have to fast from food. It can't just be anything else. It has to be specifically food. And now, as I feel like I've grown and I've had some good teachers along the way, I think that it's helped me to maybe be a little bit more sympathetic to those who may have certain medical issues. And I want to be sensitive to that. I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, if you have a serious illness, if your doctor is prescribing a certain schedule of eating and meals, I don't think Jesus is saying, nope, you gotta fast. Don't listen to your doctor. Even if you're about to die tomorrow, I want you to fast. I don't think Jesus is implying that here. I think rather what he's saying is, if you are someone who is capable of being able, medically speaking, to fast, Jesus wants you to do so. But if you're that person that's thinking, well, I literally can't fast for a day, I'd like to encourage you, well, maybe don't make it a full 24 hours. Try to use one meal. If you're thinking, well, I have a certain blood sugar issue to where I can't even do a day, to where the point where I start like throwing up, or I literally get severe migraines to where I just can't do it physically. It literally will just completely make it to where I can't, you know, take care of my family or my children or do my job. If that's the case, I think what Jesus is saying here can still apply to you. But what we do then is we want to fast from something else. And so that's what I want to challenge. If there's anyone that, for some reason, you can't fast from food, I want you to think about what can you fast from. Now, I do want to be clear. I don't want to get everyone off the hook and say, oh, Zach said we don't have to fast from food. We're just going to go pick something else that's a lot easier. No. For the large majority of us here, we are called to fast from food. You can fast from these other things as well, but we are to fast for the Lord. So what are some other things that we can fast from? Well, you can fast from sleep. Now, a lot of people don't like that very much, right? Just like the food option. We're like, well, I thought we were going to get something easier. Well, sleep might even be harder for certain people. Some people, they need to get their 8 hours, right? Or for me, I like to get like that 24 hours. No, but, you know, sleep is a basic need, right? It's something that our body needs. But Jesus, he got up very early sometimes to pray. He actually fasted from sleep. And what he did is he chose to go and seek the Lord. Or maybe there were certain times where Jesus overnight, right? He literally would be up all night in prayer. So he decided not to sleep at all that day, right? Or there are certain times the disciples, they fell asleep, right? And Jesus is over there praying while they're sleeping. So you could fast from sleep. You know that you can actually stay up all night and seek the Lord in prayer. It's not against the law. You know, God's not going to be upset with you if you choose every once in a while, I'm going to sacrifice my sleep. And I'm going to stay up. I'm going to be in prayer. Right? Sometimes we think about, oh, I just don't have the time in the day to seek the Lord. Why not? We have 8 hours of sleep, a lot of us. You can choose. It's not going to be fun to do it all the time, but that's an option. So we could fast from food. We could fast from sleep. Here's another big one, especially for maybe the younger generation. Social media. I know certain, not just younger people, there are other people that probably are older that need to be fasting from social media too, but social media is a huge one. There are so many people, they will spend hours a day just scrolling mindlessly through different apps. And I can't remember who I was talking to, but we were talking about the productivity of what that really looks like for us as Christians. When we think about how many hours, how many minutes, how many different interactions we could have with people in a day, and we think, how many hours are we spending on our multimedia devices? You know, there's on your phone, if you have a smartphone, it actually will show you how much time you've spent on your phone in different areas. And it'll say like entertainment, social networking, all of these different things. I'd like you to maybe to just look at that at some point. Take some time and look at that and be prayerful about that and be open to some conviction there. Think to yourself, have I really been spending that much time on Candy Crush? Seriously, have I spent 7 hours today on Candy Crush? And now there are people that are going to hell because I'm not sharing the gospel. I'm not living a life where I could actually be present with people. Right? This is serious. I'm not saying you can't ever enjoy any game or have fun or entertainment. But we need to make sure that we are prioritizing the important things and that these other things are secondary. So maybe it's time for some of us to get off Facebook for a while, to get off social media. Maybe to delete some apps, delete some games. We could fast from social media. Likewise with entertainment. There's the streaming services. I've preached about this a few different times about binge watching, right? You have these different television shows that people will watch and they're prideful when they say, I got through all 19 seasons yesterday, right? That's not a good thing. You shouldn't be bragging about that. That's not really something that glorifies God saying, I just sat on my butt and ate a lot of snacks for hours and did nothing else, right? That's what it means to brag about binge watching. If you're going to binge watch, binge The Chosen. That's something I like to recommend. That's at least you're binging Christ at that point, focusing on Jesus, who he is. But we can fast from entertainment or just any other hobby. You know, we're all different. We all have different things that we enjoy, different hobbies, right? Things that whenever it's not your work, it's not your specific things with your family. What are those things that you like to do in your spare time? And what can you choose to say, I'm going to relinquish this for a period for the Lord? That's what it means to fast. It means I'm going to give up certain things to be with God. And as I said, there are different ways for fasting, but there are also different reasons for fasting. And you actually see this in numerous examples in the Bible. If we think about Leviticus chapter 23, there's this, what is probably known as the most holy day in the Jewish calendar as the Day of the Atonement. It's the annual Day of Atonement, which actually is the one time in the entire year where God actually commands the Jewish people to fast. you know that? One day a year, they were called to humility and self-denial, where they would not eat for one day. And what it was meant to do was it was for the nation of Israel to reflect on their sin and how it is atoned through sacrifice. Now, obviously, that, as we know, points to Christ in his future, you know, with the coming of the first advent and him dying on the cross and rising of the dead, how he was the one and true final atonement for our sins. But for Israel at the time, the Day of Atonement, what they would do is they would remember this once a year through fasting to repent and to mourn over sin and to rejoice in the providence and God's sovereignty. So we see this being in the annual Day of Atonement. Likewise, we see the city of Nineveh regarding repentance. If you remember the story of Jonah, right? Jonah gets eaten by the big fish because he doesn't want to go preach to Nineveh. Finally, he gets his act together. He gets spit up on the beach. He goes to the city of Nineveh. It's a super wicked city, right? They're doing tons of horrible things. And basically what happens is Jonah, he preaches this message of repentance. The city of Nineveh hears it. So that also shows you, once again, preaching can make a difference in someone's life. He preaches in the entire city. They fast and they repent because they don't want to be destroyed by the judgment of God. And so what God does is he sees their fasting. They see this nationwide fast and they see their repentance, and then God relents and God does not judge the people. Rather, he redeems them. He redeems Nineveh. So we see fasting for the Day of Atonement. We see fasting when it comes to repentance. I think also in the early church, in the book of Acts, we see multiple times where the early church is committing themselves to prayer and to fasting. And it's interesting, before they actually send out Barnabas and Paul to go and to do some mission work, they all pray and fast before they send them out to gain wisdom and discernment. So maybe that's you. Maybe if you're struggling with a certain sin, and you can use fasting as a way of repentance. Maybe you're someone who's saying, I need wisdom, I need guidance, I need discernment on certain issues, right? Maybe there's something big going on in your life and you're just trying to figure out what is the will of God. You can use fasting like the early church did for guidance and for wisdom. We also see in Luke 18:12 that the Pharisees of the day, and that's what we're going to get in here in chapter 6, the Pharisees of the day, they also were fasting. So it's not just the people that are thinking about the atonement, not just a city that's truly repentant, and it's not just the good committed Christians of the day. Rather, the religious leaders, who are often called hypocrites, they even were fasting. And it says that they were fasting twice a week, and that was on Monday and Thursday. So they would fast Monday and Thursday, days that would not be around the seventh or the Sabbath day. So they would have these different time periods where they would fast. But the issue with the Pharisees was that they were letting everyone know they were fasting. So, and then finally, the last example I'd like to show, when we're thinking about biblical examples for fasting, Jesus even fasted. In Matthew 4, before Jesus even starts his public ministry, what does he do? He goes into the wilderness for 40 days and he fasts. Who's here and gone to the wilderness to fast for 40 days? I mean, that's what Jesus did. So if Jesus thought, hey, before I start my entire ministry, my entire work for the kingdom of God, before I go and do that, I need to go fast, and I'm going to go do it not for one meal for one day. I'm going to go fast for 40 days. Now, obviously, there are some allusions to Israel there. I'm not unaware of that. But I think that Jesus is showing fasting is very, very important for us as humans. We as humans need to recognize the importance of fasting. God expects us to fast. The next thing that I want to draw your attention to is, when we think about fasting, one of the reasons I think that fasting is so important for us as Christians is that fasting disciplines the body. See, we as humans, I think, as human beings, we often lack discipline. Just think about just our daily routines, right? How hard can it be for us to be disciplined in certain areas, right? Maybe waking up at a certain time. Maybe stay into our strict diets. What about getting to the gym on a certain, you know, maybe a daily or whatever time, or staying committed to what you say you're going to do, right? There are so many different ways that we show that we're not very disciplined as people. But what fasting actually does is it says we as Christians, we need to not just be physically disciplined, but we need to be spiritually disciplined. We need to be disciplined in our worship with God. I think sometimes if you see a physical lack of discipline, a lot of the times you're going to see a spiritual lack of discipline, because I think it speaks to the person themselves. And I think we all could be better at being disciplined with ourselves, with our worship. And what disciplining our bodies when we fast, what it really is showing is it's a desire for us to submit our will to the will of God. That's what fasting does. You see this basic need, right, of food. Right? Everyone needs food, right? If you don't eat for a certain amount of time, you're going to die. You are not going to live for very long without eating. And what God is saying is he says, I want you to fast. I want you to do it because what it does is it says you have to deny one of your most basic needs and to rely and depend on God. You have to look to him, and what it shows then is it's not my will, but thy will. It's not our will. It's not our desires. It's what God wants for our lives. And so that's what fasting literally is saying. It's saying, I'm going to deny myself. Right? What did Jesus say when he calls his disciples? He says, if you want to follow me, you are to deny yourself daily, take up your cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus says. To be a disciple is to be someone who denies themselves, submits themselves to God. And that's what we need to do when we come to fasting. The flesh must be put into submission. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we, that's the Christians, the church, for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, just like you have this Olympic athlete, right, who trains their bodies, they're so committed to winning the gold medal, right? They're so focused, they're so disciplined. He says, that's what a Christian should look like. That's what the church should look like when it comes to their spiritual life. Because if we don't, if we aren't making sure that our lives are focused on worship through giving, through prayer, and through fasting, what the Apostle Paul says, he says, I could find myself disqualified. Do you want to be disqualified from the kingdom of heaven? I would hope not. But that's what our challenge is here. We have this spirit and body connection. Have you ever noticed that? If you ever get hurt, or if you're ever really, really, really hungry, right? What usually happens with your personality? It starts to shift, right? We've talked about this. You get hangry. Some people get really hangry if they're getting really hungry. What that is, that's actually a spirit-body connection. When your body starts to feel pain, your spirit starts to act out. But likewise, when you start to discipline your body physically, your spirit can actually reap rewards and benefits. And that's actually what we are doing when we fast. We're saying we are going to deny the flesh. We are going to deny these appetites that our body has for certain things of the world. We're going to say, I am denying it, and we're going to allow ourselves to reap a spiritual benefit, because we find ourselves a battle between the spirit and the body. You hear that through the epistles. There's this battle between our spirit and the flesh, right? To walk by the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to lead us, or not to let the flesh buy into the world. Because as the flesh, there are many things that we can be prone to doing, right? There are certain sins probably in your life that you may struggle with, right? Our flesh, it desires things of the world, whether it's alcohol, whether it's sex, drugs, entertainment, laziness. There are so many things that our flesh, our body desires. But when we deny ourselves, we're saying we want to overcome this. We want to be led by the Spirit. We're depending on God. And so that is what it means when we say we're fasting. We are disciplining the body so that we can be led by the Spirit. And so what I think that means then is when we are thinking about fasting, we cannot allow ourselves to become apathetic about it. We cannot think that it's just something that, yeah, you could do. It's really just up to you. It's not that important, really. No, we need to look at it and say there is a spiritual battle going on within us. Right? You are not just a physical body. You are a spirit. Right? And so we have to think you are battling. There's this battle going on between the flesh and your spirit. And we, through fasting, can discipline the body so that we can honor God. We can submit to His will. Now, when I say that, fasting is not the magic trick, right? You fast one time and therefore super religious, right? As we're going to look at the Pharisees, that's clearly not the case. But what fasting can do is it can make us available, and it can allow us to have our hands open for God and His grace and for His power to work in our lives. So what it does is it puts us at a seat at the table, essentially, for God to work. So that's what fasting does. It's not the magic thing that solves everything, but it is something that allows us to be available to what God has for us in our lives. One last thing regarding fasting and disciplining the body is fasting, as we fast, we should be supplementing that with prayer and scripture reading. We should be supplementing our fasting with prayer and scripture reading. Sometimes we're thinking, oh, well, you know, I fast, but you're not doing anything when it comes to prayer, or you're not doing anything when it comes to scripture. But we see Jesus, when He's fasting, right, He is doing it so that He can be with God. He's doing it so He can get closer to the Father. And I hear so many people saying, like, with work and family and stress and life, I just don't have very much time to read the Bible. I don't have a lot of time to get into scripture. I don't have a lot of time to pray a lot, right? Well, if you fast, what you're doing is you are taking away whatever your time is spent on so that you can be with God. See, time management happens when you fast. That's what fasting is for. Fasting says, I'm getting rid of something important, something essential in my life because I know God is more essential. And so I want to encourage those who fast, and I hope that we all will bring this and put this a part of our lives if we aren't already doing it, but that we would fast, that we would use it for a time to grow in understanding of the Word, or that we would seek the Lord in prayer. Now, finally, then, as we really come to the heart of what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, we see that the issue when it comes to fasting is that a devoted heart is required. And really, that's a huge theme of the whole Sermon on the Mount. It's about the heart condition. It's about what are your intents? What are your motivations when you do certain things? Why have you come to church today? Is it because it's just what you do? Is it because you feel obligated, right? Do you feel pressured? Or do you come because you have a devoted heart for God? Because, see, in the text, what we see is that the Pharisees, they didn't have a devoted heart. They weren't committed to God. They didn't love the Lord. See, what they did when they fasted is that they appeared to be fasting. And that's why at the very beginning of verse 16 it says, moreover, when you fast, right, that expectation, do not be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites, once again, that's what it means, is to wear a mask, to pretend to be something, to let people see your exterior but not really see what's going on inside. He says, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, right? That means a sad appearance. He says, don't be like them, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. See, that's what the Pharisees were doing. So they didn't need to hear some of these other parts that I've said, right? They already know that they're supposed to fast, that it's a good thing to do. And they already know that when they fast, that they're actually being very disciplined. They're disciplining the body. As I said, they fasted twice a week. They are probably more disciplined than a lot of us. Think about that. Fasting twice a week. That's how disciplined they were. But the issue was not what they were doing physically, but it's what was going on in their hearts. Because when they fasted, they did it so that they could appear to be fasting, so that the people around them could see that they were fasting. So they were seeking the praise of men. Once again, they were seeking approval from those around them. And so this is the heart of the issue, because fasting, as we said, what does fasting do? It emphasizes the denial of the flesh, right? When we are fasting, we're disciplining the body. We're denying ourselves. We're denying our own wants, our own desires, and we're saying we want to be in the will of God. But what the Pharisees were doing is they were saying, yeah, we're disciplining ourselves, we're denying ourselves, and we're doing it so that we can get praise and so that we can become the popular ones, the ones who get all the attention. Do you see how that's not denying the flesh? That's not denying yourself? I'm going to deny myself so everyone loves me and everyone gives me what I want. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were trying to say, we're going to deny ourselves by glorifying our flesh. That's what the Pharisees were doing. And Jesus says, do not be like them. Do not be like the Pharisees. He says this three times. Do not be like the hypocrites. The ones who are giving, which is good, they're praying, which is good, and they're fasting, which is good, but they're not doing it with the right intentions. Their heart is far from me. So what he says then, if you are a disciple and you're going to fast, and if you want to discipline your body, what he says is, he says, go fast, anoint your head, and wash your face. So what that means, some people have taken that as the other extreme. So the Pharisees, they're trying to get all the attention and saying, look at me, I'm fasting. Some have taken it to mean, oh, go hide in your room, pretend like you've never fasted before, right? We got to make sure that no one ever thinks I'm ever fasting. But that's not that can be another extreme. The point of what Jesus is saying when it says anoint your head, wash your face, that was a common practice of the day. What he says is, just be normal. Don't be trying to exaggerate. Just fast. Don't appear. Don't act it out. Don't show someone. Just clean yourself up. Get ready for the day. Stop thinking about yourself. That's what fasting is. Stop thinking about ourselves and let's think about and worship God. I think that's what he's saying there where he says, anoint your heads, wash your face, clean yourself up, get up and go. Don't pretend like, oh, my belly hurts so bad. Oh, I'm going to put sackcloth and ashes on my head because I'm so holy and I hate sin. I'm mourning over sin. So holy, right? What he's saying is, go do your day. Do the things you're supposed to. And you don't have to let people know that you're fasting. Because he says, those who do that, they already have their reward. The reward is the praise of men. But if you seek to fast in secret, if you seek God through your fasting, you will be rewarded openly by Him. And that's really the heart of the whole thing, is what is the purpose of fasting? The purpose of fasting is to know and experience God more intimately. If that's just the thing that we could take away from this, do you want to know and experience God? Do you want to go on a deeper, more intimate level? Do you want to know your Father in heaven, the one who created you, the one who is our shepherd, the one that the scriptures, the prophets, all of these disciples, the apostles, they've been writing about? You can know Him. You can experience Him more than just a physical, we come to church and we just do certain things in the motion. There's actually something so intimate about knowing God, and you can actually experience that. And fasting is one of the ways that God gives us to experience that. And that's why I want to challenge us to fast. Make that a practice in your spiritual life, in your worship. If we want to experience and know God more intimately, more deeply, let's fast and let's do it for our Father who is in heaven, because God loves us and God wants us to know Him. That's why Jesus came, right? Why did Jesus come? So that He may dwell among us. He may tabernacle among us. Jesus, God in the flesh, comes to be in communion and fellowship with us. He dies on the cross, rises from the dead, so that we then can trust Him, know Him, experience Him, and be with Him forever. So what fasting is really is the practice for what we're going to get to do with Him as we dine with Him forever. So fasting is a relationship. It's so that we can go and seek and know God. And if you're ever just thinking to yourself, man, I just feel like this religion thing, it's so, you know, wooden, I just don't feel it. Fasting is a way in which we can truly feel the Lord. We can experience God. It's not just a mechanical thing. There's the Spirit. Your heart is involved. And fasting is a way that God allows us to seek that out. So fasting is for seeking God. It's not for the praise or seeking the praise of others. That's what the Pharisees were doing. One other thing when it comes to the fast is fasting is not for the physical benefits. Certain people fast today and it has nothing to do with the praise of men, and it also has nothing to do with spiritual matters. What it really is, it's they want to be fit, right? It's all about the health kick of the day. But no, there's a good thing about fasting, that it can have a physical benefit, but our goal is not for the physical. Our goal is for the spiritual, for Christ. So as we fast, then it prepares our hearts and our souls to receive God, receive greater revelation as He leads us as our Father and as our Shepherd. And I pray that we would hear this call, we would hear this challenge today, and that we would go and we would fast. So God expects us to fast. Fasting disciplines the body, but a devoted heart is required. Let us pray. Father, we come to You and we are grateful for this challenge today, Lord, that we would hear the call to fast, that we would seek You, that we would discipline our bodies, we would submit ourselves to Your will, to Your guidance, Lord, that we may know You and experience You on a deeper level, Lord, and that we would receive whatever You have for us, that we might go and be salt and light to the world. We love You. We thank You for Your Son, for all that You have done. In Jesus' name, amen.